The Jonathan Cruz case was hastily investigated by authorities, but many questions remain. Come behind the curtain with private investigator Sheila Wysocki as she uncovers the truth about what happened to Jonathan. This is Without Warning. Warning: the following episode contains elements that are graphic in nature. Listener discretion is advised.
In the last episode, you heard about Jonathan as a son, brother, friend, and boss. Jonathan was consistent in all those roles. His friends' descriptions were accurate: loving, caring, loyal, rational, and logical. You heard on February 2nd, 2014, a 911 call from his girlfriend, Brenda Lazaro. She claimed Jonathan shot himself in the chest. She told detectives they'd fought earlier in the day about another woman, eaten dinner, watched TV, and then talked in the bedroom, him lying in bed and she is sitting on the floor. Quote, "We were just having a discussion and we were just talking," Brenda said to the 911 operator. However, the evidence tells another story. On this episode, you will hear about Brenda Lazaro, her family, her friends, and her job as told in public documents, the actual interviews from her friends, all in their own words. You will hear a familiar voice from Tom Shaw. As many of my listeners know, Tom Shaw is an outstanding attorney, one of the best I've come across for victims. Tom is a Dallas attorney and will get answers for his clients. He is worth his weight in gold. Brenda's background was different than Jonathan's. It took some investigation to gather information on Brenda. Originally, I was told she was born at Parkland Hospital, but later found out that wasn't true. According to her sister Isla, she was born in Oregon. The family moved to Mexico when Brenda was around 5 years old. Brenda's family moved back to the States, specifically Irving, Texas, when Brenda was a teenager. According to Brenda, she had a rough home life. It has been reported that Brenda started at Northlake College in the spring of 2006. Brenda also joined Wu Yi in Coppell, Texas under Henry Su approximately 10 years prior to meeting Jonathan. Henry Su presents himself as a mentor to the Kung Fu members or a father figure. Henry Su referred to the Kung Fu community as the family. In this podcast, I too will refer to them as the family. I will go deeper into the loyalty of the family on another episode. Here is Henry Su talking about his relationship with Brenda, the family, and Jonathan asking Henry to date Brenda.
How long have you known Brenda Lazaro?
Many years. At least 8 to 10 years.
How did you meet her?
She was a student in my class.
Did you get to know her well?
Pretty much. Like all my students, I try to coach, not just in martial arts, but also in life, in dealing with situations in life, in school, in career, the whole works. So we had some conversations. She's a very shy person, doesn't say very much. So that was one of the aspects that all these years we've been trying to coach her how to be more open and make friends. And
how would you describe Brenda other than shy?
Very hardworking, work out very hard. Somebody I trust, somebody I can count on to help out. When she says she's gonna be there, she's gonna be there. Everybody likes her. She doesn't say very much, but she's appropriately friendly. Early on, in the earlier times when she was first starting the school, she's a bit shy because language skills is not as good. So the family, as you can imagine, everybody tried to be friendly and make sure that they open up the conversation with her.
How often do you see Brenda?
Recently, not very often, but there were times when she would train and be in class just about every single day. At one point, she was one of my assistant instructors to help me with teaching some of the kids. And there were times when she was busy with school, where she was off for probably more than a year.
In the past year, what is the extent of your contact with Brenda Lazaro?
Probably every day or every other day until the last 6 months, maybe.
Have you ever said that Brenda's like a daughter to you?
Probably. I said it about my students.
Did you ever have any discussions with Brenda regarding Jonathan Cruz?
Not at all, actually. Other than the day when he asked me for permission to date her, which was kind of very interesting, other than that. And she came out and later on said that, yes, we are getting pretty close, and that was about it.
Did you give him permission to date her?
It's not me. I don't have any right to give her any permission.
What was your reaction to that?
So I was very happy. Because,
what was your reaction to that?
The reaction to
him asking if he could date Brenda?
I was happy.
What did you say to him?
I said, of course.
Anything else?
And probably just said, make sure you take good care of her. Okay. Like I would tell, you know, if you are the parent, your daughter is dating somebody, you tell the boy, hey, you better take good care of her.
Okay.
Other than that, it was a happy situation. And I'm so happy that two of my students are getting together. And Jonathan is as much of the family as Brenda is. And so to have that is really a wonderful, happy thing.
Do you know who Shirley Thompson is?
Yes.
Did you tell Shirley Thompson you were happy Brenda was dating a nice man from a good family?
Probably, yes.
Did you tell anyone else that?
I think I told Susie that, because I was genuinely happy that both of them are, you know, a nice couple. I think they're good for each other. Both of them appear to be very happy, and I think Jonathan was treating her really well. And she, every time I see them together, they are very charming, smiley, very a good couple. So I'm happy to see that.
Brenda's closest friends from the family generally describe her as nice, emotionally stable person who would never harm herself or anyone else. However, you all decide if they are lying to protect Brenda or Brenda has been a master at hiding her true self from them. None of the family would describe Brenda as emotionally unstable, have extreme jealousy, attempt suicide, or have any self-destructive behavior. The family, who knew Brenda for more than 10 years, would deny those behaviors. Here are the different family members talking about Brenda. Payam.
Okay, so you've known her 10 years.
Yes, sir.
Where did you first meet her?
At the martial arts school when I was 9 years old.
Now, the Brenda that you have known for 10 years, tell me about her. Give me some adjectives to tell me how you would describe her.
She was always just a good, great person. You know, I always looked up to her as an older sister. And, you know, she was very kind and respectful. And, you know, I just treated her with the utmost respect. And she was just a great person. That's about all I could say. That's basically everything I know about her.
Did you consider her an emotionally stable person?
Yes, she was stable. Yes, sir.
Emotionally stable?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Did you consider her to be a jealous person?
Did she consider to be a jealous person?
Did you consider her to be a jealous person?
Oh, no. She was never the jealous type.
Was she a drama queen?
No, she was never a drama queen.
Were you aware of any times where she harmed herself?
No, I've never, like, in the class or, like, in school or anything.
Anywhere?
No, I've never witnessed her harming herself, no.
That would be inconsistent with your understanding who she is.
No, she was never like that person. She would never harm herself. She was always a good person.
Okay, you'd consider someone who harmed themselves to be a bad person.
Or emotionally unstable. Some, they're feeling depressed or something like that. But she never was depressed. I've never seen her depressed ever.
And do you know if she ever threatened to harm anyone?
Nope.
Objection.
No, nope, she's never said anything. As I said before, she was the most kind and sweetest person I've ever met. I, like, in the school, she's one of the people I trust the most, aside from Henry Sue.
Would you say Brenda is probably the nicest person you know?
Yes.
Okay. And you never saw her argue or fight with anyone, did you?
Never.
Didn't it seem odd to you that the person who never argued in her life was having an argument with Jonathan just before his death?
Well, it's personal. I don't like getting involved in that. Couples argue. It's just normal for all couples. Underneath all that is always just love, and that's it.
But you just told me that they weren't in love, that they were just dating.
No, I mean, like, when you're a couple is what I mean. Not like when you're in love and you want to get married and stuff like that. When you're in a relationship, arguments happen. It's just normal. It's just relieving stress, and that they just relieve stress. It's just sometimes some people just take it too far.
Were you aware that Brenda told Emily that Jonathan belonged to her?
She would never say something like that.
But
I don't know what if that happened, but I know her for a fact that she would never say something like that.
So her saying that that someone belonged to her is just completely something she wouldn't say.
Yeah, she would never.
And so you know Henry Sue, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do you know Henry Sue fairly well?
Yes, sir. I've always seen him as a father figure because I met him when I was a kid, when I was 9. And he's just like, he's not my godfather, but like if something happened to my parents, he'll be the first person I'd go to.
And Mr. Sue encourages you to treat your fellow students as family, correct?
Yes, sir.
That's important, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
You view all the other students as family members, true?
Yes, sir.
And he encourages that.
Yes, sir.
So he takes care of each of the family members.
Yes.
Like you said, he'd be willing to do anything for them, right?
Yes.
Was there a time when you and Derek Lowe and some of the other members of the family went to a kung fu camp?
Yes, we went to kung fu camp. I believe it was 2013 12? Or 2012.
Oh, 2012 or 13?
It was the summer after my junior year, so I was still 16. So 3 years ago, yeah, 2013.
Would Henry Sue have approved you as a minor sharing a room with one of the girls?
One of the girls?
Yes.
No, because I did not share a room with anyone besides Garen.
That would be inappropriate in your mind, correct?
Yes, and he has enough trust for the people to know that they would never do that sort of inappropriate behavior.
Do you think it would be appropriate for an adult girl to room with a minor boy that she wasn't related to?
Like blood related?
Yes.
Well, anything other than this case or in this situation, like the fact that we are a family at the Kung Fu school, if it's outside of Kung Fu with other people, then yeah, it'll be unorthodox. It'll be not normal, but we consider each other as family, that it was fine that an adult would share with the child because we were family.
Okay. And that's what Henry taught you, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you knew that the reason you're telling me this is because you knew that an adult woman roomed with a minor boy during that, didn't you?
Yes.
And that minor boy was correct?
Yes.
And that adult was Brenda, correct?
Yes.
And, of course, Henry knew about that, right?
Yes.
How do you know he knew about it?
Well, I mean, it was there. We all had, it was a giant, it was a very long building, and everyone camped because there was the room that everyone was living in. There was a cafeteria, and there was the gym that we all practiced martial arts. There was three rooms that we went to, and we basically knew who was where and if we needed to see them or talk to them or do something. And she was never a selfish person. She'd always, if I was short on money at a restaurant, she'd always cover for me. She'd give me rides. Like if I wanted to go to school and my brother couldn't drive or my mom was not in the house, she would pick me up. She was just that kind of person. She wasn't selfish.
Sharon.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a lawyer.
Okay. And are you currently practicing law?
Yes.
What kind of work do you do?
I have two jobs, actually. So I'm an attorney that represents Social Security disability claimants at their federal administrative law judge hearings. And I also am president of a company.
Ah, what kind of company are you president of?
Software solutions.
Do you know the different people that are a part of this case? Do you know Brenda Lazzaro?
Yes.
Did you meet her through Kung Fu?
Yes.
And did you know Jonathan Cruz?
I knew him, not well.
Okay. Do you know Danny Cruz?
Yes.
Also known as Danielle?
Yes, I call her Danny.
Okay. And you know Pam?
Yes.
And you know John?
Yeah.
And how do you know
through Kung Fu.
Okay. But you remember her rooming with him?
That I heard she did, yes.
Okay. Who did you hear that from?
I can't remember.
Okay. Did you think that was odd, considering how old was?
Yes.
You did think it was odd?
Yes.
As a prosecutor, that set off bells in your head, didn't it?
I wasn't crazy about it.
This is Jess Betancourt, the host of DNA ID, the only true crime podcast that exclusively covers cases solved using forensic genealogy. DNA ID goes behind the headlines to answer your questions about this remarkable new crime-solving tool, how it works, how cases are selected, why the cases were unsolved for so long, and how the justice system is addressing it. I include input from law enforcement to give you the inside scoop that we all crave with a straightforward, no-nonsense delivery. You can find DNA ID on any podcast platform. Episodes come out weekly on Mondays.
The story about an adult female staying with a minor male becomes important in the web of stories and cover-ups later. I have beeped out the young man's name since he was a minor at the time. From around 2009 to the summer of 2013, Brenda was in a relationship with Matthew Kirk. In contrast to the family stories, Matt, and corroborated by others, said Brenda consistently exhibited extremely controlling and jealous behavior during the entire course of their relationship. Matt was not even permitted to have a relationship with his own sister-in-law. And ultimately, Brenda drove a wedge between Matt and his family. According to Matt, during this time, Brenda cut her wrist numerous times, as well as banged her head against the wall, took drugs in combination with alcohol in an attempt to commit suicide or give the appearance of doing so, pulled her own hair out, and committed other self-destructive acts. According to Matt, Brenda harmed herself over 100 times during their relationship. On two occasions, Matt called 911.
Can you state your name, please?
Matthew Reza Kirk.
How long have you known Lazzaro?
I met her, I think, about August, I think it was 2000. For the time I knew her, it was 5 years.
5 years, okay.
4 years, something months. I say 4 years, six at all.
Okay. Have you talked to Ms. Lazzaro in the past year? Would you take her call if she called you?
Hell no.
Okay. You understand that when Sheila interviewed you, she expected that you were going to tell the truth.
I told the truth best to my knowledge.
Okay.
And I'll say something. I if you're implying that I lied about anything, I'm not. If I told her something wrong, it might have been by mistake. Maybe because let me tell you one thing. She came into the office. I'm surprised. And if you expect me to memorize everything that happened between me and Brenda, which I'm trying to forget about, I am trying to forget that girl. I don't want to know anything about that girl. Let me say this before I go any further. I don't want to know anything about that girl. She almost ruined my life. Okay. She ruined the relationship. And I'll say, I told her I didn't want to be involved in this again. And I told the other guy with the beard came into the office, I don't want to get involved. Because that girl ruined me and the relationship between me and my family, between me and my sister-in-law, and almost ruined me.
Okay.
And she put me down pretty badly. A girl breaks up with you through a text message that you all you did in the relationship was try to help her as much as you can. I don't want to think about her. So if I say something wrong, it's probably because I'm trying not to remember.
Okay. Would you characterize Brenda Lazaro as a jealous person?
Very.
What about any friends? Was there any friends that she was particularly jealous of?
Yeah, any girl friend. I mean, most of the girl or female friends that I had. I think there was a couple of female friends I had that she wasn't jealous of, but because that friend didn't live anywhere near us. She lived in Houston. She's okay. A doctor.
So she didn't feel threatened by that person?
No.
But anyone that lived near you, she felt threatened by?
Not everybody. Just, I'd say, not 100%. Probably just most girls that were attractive. Let me clarify that. Either girls that were really attractive or she would feel like was attracted to.
Did she ever express displeasure with you communicating with other girls?
Yes.
And how did she express that?
She cried. She got mad. She told me.
Did she ever tell you that it's either her or these other people?
All the time.
Okay. And did you assure her that it was her or did you tell her that these were just friends and she should just, I gave you a couple of things.
So yes, everything you're saying is what I said. Okay. I told her that these are friends. It doesn't mean anything. You're the only person I'm with. I don't have these feelings towards these people and you shouldn't worry about it. But she did anyways.
Did she ever see you hug another woman?
Yes.
And was there hell to pay after that?
Yes.
Okay. You said she's jealous. Tell me how you concluded that.
She told me, in a way, I'm jealous of your sister-in-law.
Is your sister-in-law pretty?
Yeah, she's pretty.
Okay. And was Brenda jealous of pretty women that you knew?
She was jealous of any woman I talked to. Except for my mom and her sisters and her friends. But if I had any friends, she'd always say things such as, they're like, you like her, or why are you going around them? She just got crazy whenever I went around any girl.
How did she go crazy?
She cut herself at certain times. I think it wasn't from friends, but when I went around my sister-in-law, not long after that, she was cutting herself.
Okay. And did she ever try to reach out to these people and communicate with them in any way?
My sister-in-law, she has.
Okay, how did she do that?
Well, she told her that there was one day that they had a really big fight at my mom's house. Nothing physical, just verbal fight. She tried to confront her to make things better, and then she told her she didn't like how she was with me. She said, I don't like you hugging him or touching him, talking to him.
Brenda said this to your sister-in-law?
Yes.
Okay, so she didn't like any kind of physical contact that you might have?
Any contact at all.
Any contact?
Yeah.
With other girls?
With my sister-in-law.
Okay.
Oh, or most girls. I mean, it was so bad. Okay, I'll give you a perfect example. My niece, when she was born, I wanted to go to the hospital. She didn't want me to go.
Why?
Because she didn't want me around my sister-in-law. She was that bad. And she was, she was cutting herself in my bathroom when I came back. Because I went anyway. I was like, okay, I'm going to go. I just don't want to tell her. I went, came back. She was kind of, she says, you were around your niece, weren't you? I said, yes, of course.
What'd she say?
She was crying and her hand was full of blood.
Okay, and you said that she was hurting herself. How was she hurting herself? Was she cutting herself?
Yes. She cut her wrist.
while she was dating you?
Yeah, several times. Several times. That's one thing it's very traumatizing. Well, she never did it in front of me. She did it in my restroom one time with scissors. She got so bad that two times I had to call police on her to take her to the hospital over in Parkland. She also took drugs with alcohol.
What kind of drugs?
I don't know. Whatever she can find in her cabinet or in a cabinet, she would take it and just drink. I think it was mezcal. It's just like tequila, but not. Also, she pulled her hair sometimes.
What else?
I think she hit her head on the wall.
Did she ever threaten you?
No, she never threatened me.
Okay. Did she ever tell you?
Well, no, she threatened to kill my mom one time.
What'd she say?
Well, no, she just held some scissors in her hand and said, I'm going to go see your mom. That was one time. And that's the time that I called the police on her.
Okay.
The second time. To take her to the hospital, not to take her to jail.
Okay. Well, you called the police. What did they do?
Arrested. Well, they took her to the hospital.
Okay.
Is that a type of arrest? I don't think so. I don't know. I'm not.
Okay. The police took her
to the hospital.
To the hospital. Which
they
hospital?
Never took her to jail. Parkland.
Parkland. Okay. Did she ever threaten, other than the time that she came to your house after her boyfriend had been killed, had she ever, on any other occasion, threatened to shoot herself?
Before that?
Yes.
Yeah, I think she has. I know she has before that. I don't remember when, but if you want me to write down the list of how many different times she tried to do something suicidal or crazy, it would be a long list.
Okay, so while you were dating her for 4.5 years,
mm-hmm.
yes?
Yes.
She threatened to kill herself on more than one occasion?
Yes.
More than 10?
Yes.
More than 20?
Yes.
You also testified that she allegedly harmed herself multiple times.
Yes.
How many times would you say?
Over 100.
And earlier you had said it was maybe more than 10?
He asked me if it was more than 10.
And then he asked you if it was more than 20?
Mm-hmm.
So which is it? Is it?
It's more than 100. If it's more than 10, it could be 20. If it's more than 20, it's definitely 100. It's more than 100.
Okay.
Lots of times. It's enough time that it caused me so much trauma from that. A lot of times, let me tell you this, it was so bad that after she left me, I was having lots of nightmares about it. Actually, I had a nightmare 3 to 4 times every week after she left me until I met my wife. Understand that that's not right. And I was having problems going to bed every night.
So your testimony is that she's threatened to harm herself more than 100 times.
Mm-hmm. No, she harmed her. Yeah, no, she harmed herself more than 100 times.
Was she drinking or taking some kind of drugs when she was threatening to shoot herself?
I only know that I think she tried to kill herself when we were in my home because I have guns. I like guns. I'm not crazy gun guy though. But I think one time she tried to take one of my guns and shoot her and I had to stop her. Luckily, she doesn't know how to use a gun very well. There was nothing in it.
You never taught her?
I taught her guns.
Okay.
But she doesn't understand what safety and if it's loaded or not means.
And who was with her during these times?
In the same room or in the same house?
In the same room, witnessing her.
Nobody.
Neither you.
The only way I knew that she was doing these things, I think one time she took a picture of, like, the alcohol, the pills, and sent it to me. And I saw her hands full of blood. And one time I saw her pull her hair. And I saw her hit her head on the wall.
You didn't want to get the police involved, did you?
No, of course not.
Okay.
I don't want her to have a record. I know she wanted to become a teacher. It's not good for a teacher to have a record.
And that's why you didn't call the police on the 98 other times that she cut herself or injured herself. True?
Exactly.
Okay. And you only called her the 2 times or however many times the record shows you called her because it was particularly serious and you were worried. True?
True.
But it appeared that you were teaching her about handguns.
Yeah, when we went to a gun range.
Okay, so how many times did you take her to a gun range?
I think twice.
Twice?
Yes.
Okay.
Two.
but she knew her way around guns because of you.
I wouldn't give myself blame on that.
No. I'm not blaming you. Yeah, I'm just saying she knew how to handle a gun.
Yes.
On two occasions, Matt called 911. On one of those occasions, Brenda approached Matt with bloody hands, scissors in her hands, saying that she was going to see Matt's mother. At the time, Matt took this as a threat against his mother. I stopped by Matt's office where he worked with his mom. The audio isn't great, but I will set up his response for you to hear directly. Remember, the audio is hard to hear with me. In this episode, I am only discussing Brenda. More in-depth listen to his interview on another episode. While dating Matt, Brenda told him in confidence that she witnessed a murder in San Bernardo with a friend. Here is Matt discussing Brenda's academics.
And I was going to school and I took her classes for her. I mean, who cares, right?
Okay, was she good in school?
Yeah, she was good. She was a Spanish student. We were in history. She took a minor in history. We were in history classes together, so she got a lot of help in her history class.
And with you, okay.
Yeah, and then, we studied together.
Did she get a degree?
Yes.
She did get a degree, okay.
Bachelor's in Spanish at UCU.
And that's where you went?
Okay.
Did she live with you?
No.
She did not. Is there anything that, you know, when you took her to the, and this is just something, when you took her to the gun range, she was able to point and shoot, and yeah. Mm-hmm. Was she scared of guns?
I was like nervous the first shot, but she didn't have a problem with it.
She wasn't fearful of being around guns?
I'm good at teaching.
What so you never say? Worked at Walmart?
Never in my life.
Never in your life? Not even
a life? I hate Walmart. She knows. She should know that. I've never even been to Walmart when we were dating. I think I may have gone to a Walmart since then twice. I walked in Walmart once because I was there with a friend. Another time because I had a flat tire and I had nowhere else to go.
Why would you say that?
Probably because she doesn't want y'all to find me.
Okay.
Which would make sense. She's a smart girl, though. She's pretty clever.
Now, did she ever lie to you about anything?
No, not really. She's always pretty straightforward. She always said I never had anything to hide with me.
And your mom and sister didn't care for her?
No, they hated her.
Okay.
No, my sister-in-law hated her. My mom liked her, but my sister-in-law convinced her to hate her. She always said that she's not good enough for you.
Anything else that you can think of?
What else did she say about me? That I didn't have ambition?
Do you really want to know?
Yeah, I do.
It's hurtful.
I don't care.
That you didn't exercise and you were overweight and not physically fit.
Yeah, it's true. No, at that time, I gained a lot of weight. When I got into the relationship with her, my family stopped talking to me and I got into a depression. I gained a lot of weight. With that girl, the only thing she ever wanted to eat, I mean, I paid for everything that we did.
Mm-hmm.
She had no money almost. Her mm-hmm. family's very poor.
Mm-hmm.
But I paid for everything that we did. You know, I took her out to eat everywhere. And she always liked eating McDonald's. And she loved McDonald's. So we went to McDonald's. We went to school, studied at McDonald's. I helped her sit there. You know, she had a laptop, which is a crappy one. And she had used my laptop a lot. I mean, I took care of that girl. I was a little bit overweight, yeah. Ambitious, maybe I was depressed though. So. And then losing my family a second time, because I lost my family for the first time too, for the previous relationship.
Oh, God.
They didn't accept it. But when I'm with a girl and say, accept her, or I don't want y'all, I mean, y'all gotta accept me and my woman, and, you know, anyways.
I mean, those were the things, like I said, we started out at Walmart.
What else did she say?
No, that's it. That is totally it. That is all I know. And that's where, the Walmart thing is where we started, and they didn't have you anywhere. So that's just odd. I mean, it's just odd.
I thought she was cheating on me towards the end of that relationship, though. So it might have been with this guy.
fairly dated 8 weeks.
Oh, really?
6 weeks.
Yeah, she told me they were talking about having kids, and they were in love.
Did she say anything else they talked about? Did she mention if they were having any problems?
No. She said that we were, I said, what happened? Why? I said, what happened? And she said, you know, we were just talking. One day he was just playing with a gun and he shot himself.
So that's why you text. She came over to your house and that's why you text her. And then Danny said, my brother or her boyfriend just died. It wasn't that she initiated it by coming to your house.
Uh-huh.
That's why you did that. Okay.
Did
that
what?
Makes, text her and then Danny goes, you know, her boyfriend just died.
Danny's a sister, right?
Danny's a sister, sorry.
Yes, no, that's okay. I remember that.
Yeah, so she came over and then you text her and then, okay, that makes total sense. So you weren't constantly trying to get back with her. She initiated it.
No, I gave up on her.
Okay. And when she came over, did she tell you that if the police were suspicious of her or if they took her in for questioning?
Please don't talk to me.
No. Did she tell you?
No.
That they were, no. That they brought her in and stuff. Okay.
No, I didn't know anything else after that.
Okay.
And she, one day she came over, Jessica, and I gave her a hug, said, I'm sorry. She's going to leave. I said, you know, don't do anything. I'm here if you ever need any help with anything, but that's all.
Okay.
Because she says, I really need things that day. Even when she came over, she said, you know, he's a better guy than you ever were, and this and that.
To you on that day?
Yeah, it was kind of not nice.
That's very not nice.
I finished up the conversation with Matt, headed to the door, and he followed me out. The audio progressively got worse and worse as I was fumbling around to keep the audio going. So this is a continuation of my conversation with Matt, even worse audio than before.
And they were close with her, but she had one friend that she was always hanging out with. She had another friend, which is not a good girl.
Was that Karen?
Karen is not the good girl, right?
Karen's not the
girl. Oh, no, Karen is the white girl. She's a good girl.
She's a good girl. Okay.
Lauren is the one that was... Laurel's other friend.
Okay.
She's just two-faced.
Okay. I don't even know that name.
She's not important. She probably don't know anything anyways.
Yeah, I don't know that name. But Karen we spoke to this morning. So we've already talked to her.
Do you live in Texas now?
No, I actually live in Florida. But I, you know, travel. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm all over all the
time.
No,
I understand what you do. I watch Magnum P.I.
You watch Magnum P.I.? He's one of my favorites because besides being great looking, but I like his car and he's so funny.
Yeah.
I mean, it's
that's
great.
That's my favorite show.
I can't think of his sidekick's name. What is the...
D.C. Higgins and Rick.
Okay.
Rick is the guy that works in the...
Who's the guy who manages the house?
Jonathan Bell Higgins.
Okay, yeah, the shorter guy with it. Yeah, he's awesome. But yeah, our thing is, I don't make judgments.
I know.
It's not my job to make a judgment. Mm-hmm. I just gather it and turn it in,
but
and I'm
still
done.
Going to be able to watch my grandkids.
Yeah, you're not
you
going
to
be.
No idea what
this has
happened to me.
Nothing. No, you're not. This is. You're not going to be arrested or anything. I'm not the police. I'm not. You know. I'm just taking them, turning them in, and I'm done. So, and that's all. I'm just gathering information. Your name kept coming up. So we obviously had to talk to you. And, you know, it just makes sense.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let's recap the conversation. Matt said that Brenda was a good student. However, he took her classes for her. Matt said that he and Brenda did not live together. Matt also said he paid for everything and Brenda didn't eat very much. She loved McDonald's, and that's a theme that we'll hear throughout the story. Matt also described how poor Brenda's family was and how he tried to help her and he really took care of her, according to Matt. The most interesting part of the conversation was the shooting range. When asked about Brenda shooting a gun, he told me that he taught her how to shoot a gun and that she was nervous with the first shot, but didn't have a problem after that. The description that Matt used was Brenda was a smart girl, and then he changed the word to clever. I happen to agree with him. Matt also talked about going into a depression, losing his family, and how isolated he was. The reason Walmart came up was Brenda told her friends that Matt worked at Walmart. Matt did not work at Walmart. He did, however, work at a place called Drive Time. File that away for later. Matt will be an incredible source of information during the investigation. There will be a lot more of Matt later. Part of the clip was hard to understand about the good girls and the bad girls. I spoke to the people who knew the one that Matt referred to as bad, and then made an appointment to meet her myself. According to the witnesses, Brenda did not like this particular girl and deemed her bad. This story was repeated over and over when talking to witnesses. Brenda told different family members stories that would put into question this young lady's character. Different Wu Yi family members turned on this beautiful, smart, talented young lady, isolating her. The young lady had been a friend of Jonathan's for years. He was spotted by Brenda speaking to the beautiful, smart, talented young lady. One would think no other girl could talk to Jonathan, especially a beautiful, smart, talented young lady. After Jonathan's death, Brenda replaced this beautiful, smart, talented young lady in Allison and Alex's wedding. Of course, Alex and Allison are part of the Kung Fu family. Prior to the wedding, there were photos taken along with a description. Here is the description of Brenda, Allison's bridesmaid. Quote, Brenda Lazaro, bridesmaid. Brenda does what she wants, when she wants, while giving off a princess personality. She can actually annihilate you without putting forth too much effort. Parentheses, no, for real, end of parentheses. She also lets us put her in a lion suit and throw her around. End of quote. As I take you through the investigation, you, the listener, decide. Was Brenda a master manipulator at hiding herself, or did she have a little help from her friends? Let's one more time read what was written about Brenda as a bridesmaid. Brenda does what she wants, when she wants. While giving off a princess persona, she can actually annihilate you without putting forth too much effort. No, for real. She also lets us put her in a lion suit and throw her around. You decide. On the next episode, I will discuss Coppell, Texas, the Coppell Police Department, and the politics behind the case. If you're coming to Nashville for a bachelorette party, absolutely check out Blush of Nashville. Hannah will take care of all the needs and make sure that you have a wonderful time experiencing Nashville. If you've moved to Nashville, I want you to check out Trim Light of Nashville. So if you put up Christmas lights every year and take them down, look at this company and do permanent lights year round. You can have Christmas lights, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, all different colors. My neighbors like it. I love it. I will be doing a Q&A at the end of each podcast. Send in your questions about Jonathan Cruz's case, and yours may be chosen to be read on the podcast and may be answered.
As I study and look into the evidence of the Jonathan Cruz case, one thing keeps coming up as a red flag in my opinion. There seems to be a family or a brotherhood when it comes to the martial arts school. How far would a family or a brotherhood take things to protect one of its own and become more of a cult?
I am looking into a cult expert. Great question.
B
In every case, there is someone in the community who holds information that may be significant in solving a case. Relationships change over time, and many cold cases are solved when a former witness, friend, or relative is located who is tired of hiding information and shares that information with investigators. If you have any information about this case, please contact our voicemail comment line at 888-599-0008. You can leave an anonymous tip, or you can leave your contact information. We will call you back and speak with you directly. You can also email information to Sheila@SheilaWysocki.com. Without Warning, Executive Director, Executive Producer, and Host Sheila Wysocki. Announcer, Tim Evans.